Do you want to know the brutal truth?
Of course.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I'll give it to you. I realized 5 years ago, well, actually quite a few years before that, that the situation in the United States was declining rather precipitously. And I had made arrangements. Of course, you know, I was an academic and researcher at the time. And I realized that probably that didn't have, strangely, a very good future to that. So I decided to go into a number of small businesses. And when I realized that it would probably be in my best interest to leave the United States, I wanted to make sure that I had, since I'm not retired, have a small business that I can rely on. And at that time, that is one of my online businesses.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
You don't have to wait till you retire to move country. And that is what happened to my guest on the show today. If you don't like anything about where you're living, the country you're living in, not happy with the political atmosphere of the day, you don't have to stay there. You can uproot yourself and move country. Many are successfully doing it, including my guest today. Dr. Mary Wingo has a PhD and wrote a book about human stress research, the biological origins of human stress. It is possible to move country when you have online businesses, and that's something that Mary has been doing for many years. She calls herself a serial entrepreneur, having been a scientist, researcher, and professor, as well as building many small businesses with small capital requirements without debt. She deeply believes in the importance of having financial independence in this era of tremendous political and economic instability. She was always looking for fellow warriors for whom to partner. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Anne Nelson. And on the line today, all the way over from Cuenca in Ecuador, we have Mary Wingo. How are you, Mary?
Very good, very good. Living in the land of paradise. Thank you for having me.
Paradise. And you weren't always there, so can you give us a little bit of a background about where you came from and what led you to move over there?
Yes, I am originally a Texan from, I'm originally from the Dallas-Fort Worth region. And do you want to know the brutal truth?
Of course.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I'll give it to you. I realized 5 years ago, well, actually quite a few years before that, that the situation in the United States was declining rather precipitously. And I had made arrangements. Of course, I was an academic and researcher at the time. And I realized that probably that didn't have, strangely, a very good future to that. So I decided to go into a number of small businesses. And when I realized that it would probably be in my best interest to leave the United States, I wanted to make sure that I had, since I'm not retired, have a small business that I can rely on. And at that time, that is one of my online businesses. So I could, basically, I wouldn't have to depend on jobs for anybody. I wouldn't have to really, have issues with money or, bad issues with money. And so I think that from my perspective, that this is really a good toolkit for prospective expats and immigrants to have when they're going into a new country. you know, that's why I left. I left because of the, you know, the, I don't know, the kind of unstable situation that I saw actually a long time ago, but it had gradually, you know, just every year had declined. And so I decided to move for new frontiers.
It's good and bad, I suppose. Bad that you felt that you couldn't live in your own country, but it's good that you good that you've been able to find somewhere that you're happy to move to.
Yes, yes. And it is. And you know what? I mean, it happens with many, many citizens of the world. So, you know, what I felt is it's not unique, you know, for the United States or North America. There's many reasons why immigrants move all over the world. I believe I read one time, this is several years ago, so I may not be totally correct on this, that there are 400 million immigrants in this world. And they, you know, they move again for greener pastures. There's nothing exceptional or unique about that, really.
Right. You have said that you've been there for 5 years and you're a permanent citizen now there. Is that unusual?
Yeah, I am an Ecuadorian citizen. I'm not just a resident. So you go into usually how it works, for those who are not familiar, you go into a country. And if you're planning to live there past your tourist visa, which in many cases is usually 90 days, there's sometimes exceptions, but, you know, a lot of times you can be a tourist with no drama or anything, you know, on the stamp on your passport for 90 days. But if you plan to live there permanently, you get what's called a resident visa. And then after you've done your time with that and, you know, you're a good boy or a good girl, you can apply for citizenship. And this is usually like the same, you know, the conditions are different, you know, for each country, but that's usually how the path goes. And again, because I am not retired and, you know, and I am working, you know, and I, you know, still have, you know, hopefully many decades ahead of me, I wanted to secure myself with a second citizenship and a second passport. You know, again, when, you know, you don't have business to do, you know, when you're retired, I can see maybe the argument against that because it's a little bit of a trouble, but it releases you out of the obligations of residency. So you don't have to, you know, have, like, for instance, investor requirements or, you know, the various requirements or the requirements for, you know, retirement income levels, you know, all that because you're a citizen with the rights. And so there are some advantages to that. Other people, you know, think it's just too much trouble and that's okay for them too. But if you are going to be doing, you know, business in the long term outside your native country, I think, in my meager opinion, that it's a good thing to try to pursue.
Thanks for explaining that. So there are many immigrants in Ecuador?
Oh, there's immigrants of all types. You know, you've got, you know, the, and gosh, I hope I don't offend anybody, but it's the truth. A lot of economic refugees from North America and Europe. But then if you remember, we're in South America. And so we have a number of Venezuelan refugees because Ecuador did open their doors, you know, to try to stem humanitarian crisis. And the same with Colombia, parts of the Colombia are having a hard time. And so you have refugees from Colombia. You also have, they're not really refugees, but immigrants from Peru, which is just south of Ecuador. And it's because Ecuador has really developed itself in the last 10 or 12 years. It's really, in my opinion, the best of the Americas. And that's the reason why a lot of immigrants come. They also come from Argentina. There's not too many from Bolivia or Chile, but there's a few from Brazil. But yeah, it is. It's truly an international country now. It's quite shocking because, you know, just 10, 15 years ago, it was one of the poorest countries in the Americas. It was up there with Haiti and, you know, very unstable. But they have developed and they've they've got a very nice system here. There's always little things to complain about, you know, with everywhere, you know, and there are little frustrating glitches and, you know, ways that the locals do stuff. But overall, it's a wonderful place. And Ecuadorians are really wonderful people.
Well, that sounds like you've found yourself a great home to live in.
Yes.
Can we talk now about your being a businesswoman over there? What sort of businesses have you managed to establish for yourself?
Well, okay. Number one, I'm a big fan of online businesses. Okay. There's a caveat for this. I've been in this for a long time. I've been doing small businesses for 13, 14 years at least. But as far as online, I've been doing this for 11 years. And so I've been around the block around this. And there's a lot, unless you become very well educated with internet marketing and ways to market cheaply, and I mean, to try to, you know, exploit paid and unpaid advertising and marketing promotions in the most economical manner possible, then a lot of people get frustrated and have to quit because it's just a bunch of work for nothing. But you have to choose your service and your industry very carefully with that. And, you know, just market the heck out of it as cheaply as you can. And it also helps if you build your own websites, which it's actually possible to do with WordPress. I mean, you know, you don't have to do any coding or anything, although it does help. It does help to be a coder. It does help to be on the nuts and bolts end of that. But the big thing is to be extremely aggressive with marketing, especially all levels of free promotion with that. Now, that being said, that's like an international type of thing. Now, another type of thing that you can do, at least, you know, here in Ecuador, is you can establish a local business. And again, it's the same type of thing. I've seen too many times where you have these very enthusiastic expats come over here and like sink $100,000 into a restaurant, you know, and the thing is, you know, or even 50,000 or even 25,000. The thing is, in this environment in South America, it would be very hard to get your return back. So I emphasize very emphatically to concentrate on very low capital intensive businesses. Really think smart. Think smart. You know, work smart, not hard. Don't sink your entire life savings into, you know, oh, I'm going to open up a bed and breakfast, you know, in Cuenca, Ecuador. Well, the market's saturated. I'm going to open up a restaurant. Well, the market's pretty saturated with that. Now, again, there might be niches. You know, there might be niches like you can, and again, you didn't hear this from me, but a lot of people, like, for instance, make gluten-free muffins or food, you know, from their kitchen and local and advertise from the local classifieds. Because, you know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, you know, just, you know, people, you know, making stuff out of their kitchen or, you know, out of their living room or whatever, and just, you know, selling it on the market. You can actually, without the police really bothering you, you can sell food on the street. And a lot of people make a pretty good living like that. You know, you can tutor, you know, you can teach English. There are, you know, as far as, you know, this isn't necessarily in business for yourself, but there are many places in China, a lot of institutions in China that are hiring people to teach English online. And those pay fairly well. I believe those pay between $15 and $25 an hour. I mean, it's skilled work. You know, it's not something you can do for 8 hours a day because, you know, it's very mentally intensive work. But that's what a lot of people do. Other people put on classes. And again, the key is to keep this. You know, you might have to experiment even, you know, you might try doing one small type of business and it doesn't work, but you know, you didn't spend that much. Maybe you spent a couple $100, you know, okay, no big deal. You go to the next one. You just keep on experimenting until something catches. Uh-huh. With me, I'm a facilitator and I work in real estate. And what I do is I help the expat community find very reasonably priced rentals, you know, Ecuadorian price, not gringo price. You know, they said, you know, like the gringo prices, you know, is very, very high, usually, you know, 40, 50% to double the pricing. Well, I speak Spanish and, you know, I know the culture here. I'm basically Ecuadorian. You know, I function as an Ecuadorian. I speak Ecuador, you know, I speak Spanish and, you know, I go to Ecuadorian restaurants, shops, you know, and I know how the culture works more or less. And so I go in and I negotiate a good pricing in good locations at good prices. And then on top of that, I check over the contracts, which are usually much more simple than in our countries. It's usually just a couple pages in 12-point font. You know, it's not like tiny fine print or anything. But, you know, I try to structure the contract where it favors the rights and interests of the client. So I find that this type of business is very, very badly needed here. And then what else I do is I try to fill in the gaps. If they need someone to help them move, I get someone in there to help them move. If they need someone that needs like a handyman, some handyman work, I fill in with that. So, you know, since a lot of the expats here are older adults. And when I mean older, I'm not just talking like 60 or even 65. I'm talking like there are a boatload of expats here that are, you know, 70, 75, 80. You know, they don't know the language. More or less, most of them are economic refugees and they don't understand the culture. Maybe they've never lived in a region of the United States where there's even a Latinos in general. So they don't understand, you know, the basic Latin American culture at all. And it can be a very frightening process. So that's where I come in. It kind of happened accidentally. And that's where I come in. And that's where I help. And I keep my business very small. I don't accept a lot of clients because I put a lot of work into truly matching, like if they've got special needs, like they're handicapped, trying to match, you know, the personalities of the landlord and the client and the properties to the client's needs as closely as I can. So it's not just like real estate where I'm shoving stuff in people's faces. I'm very particular. And a lot of times my clients will live there, you know, live in these places for long periods of time. They don't get frustrated. They live there, you know, and so their experience as an expat is a lot less stressful. So that's just one thing I do.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're keeping yourself very busy, and it's very interesting you're saying that even older people are coming over and relocating because they're economic refugees.
Yeah, well, that's the majority. That's the majority of the legal expats. I mean, not like, say, of the refugees that are, you know, coming across, you know, seeking asylum. You know, not like that. I'm talking like, you know, folks, you know, weighing their options and saying, okay, we're gonna get the heck out of here, you know, because we can't afford to pay, you know, for our medical costs. We can't afford to pay for property taxes, even if they own their house in the United States, their property in the United States outright. Property taxes are running about 3% of the total value a year. And that's enough right there to throw somebody out of their house. You know, they can't even afford the taxes, much less insurance. So it's like probably, I would say at least 95% of the European and North American immigrants here are over 60, 65. And a lot of them are way older than that.
And by being an economic refugee, does that mean they also have to supplement their incomes as well?
Well, sometimes, I mean, it all kind of depends. Like, say you've got a couple, you know, say you've got, you know, a partner, you know, two partners living together. And they can combine their pensions, like say they're making 1,000 or 1,200 a month. They can combine it. Hey, that's usually fine. And, you know, that sets you up nice. You can rent usually a very nice luxury, you know, condo type of apartment with, you know, security guards and elevators, you know, very, very nice high-end stuff, and pay for insurance and, you know, be able to travel and, you know, do some nice things for yourself. But, you know, there are some people that might be making $600-$800 a month, you know, down here, you know, a lot of times single women, not always, but, you know, singles. And there are times that, you know, yeah, you can make it work. There's without a doubt, but you'll make it work on an Ecuadorian level. You're not going to make this work on the typical westernized level of living, which is fine. You know, it's the Ecuadorian style of living is lower cost and it's very, very nice, but it's a lot of times it's not for Westerners. It's, you know, and especially older folks that really need the comfort, you know, of having westernized style amenities. Yeah. So, and in that case, a lot of them, you know, do little services like that and, you know, and have created nice little cottage industries for themselves.
All right. Well, to sum up living over there, you've gone from being a professor. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You've gone from being a professor in the United States and being an expert on stress management.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
And I assume that's helped you in your transition that you've made over there to your new country. So in summary, it is possible to transplant yourself. So what's some basic tips you would give to others that are thinking of doing the same?
Okay, if you are retired, okay, really think this out. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You have to have a certain, I don't know, wild spirit, kind of like a cowboy, you know, Wild West type spirit to really make this work, because for a lot of people, they move out and they, you know, they miss their kids, you know, their family, you know, they live, you know, maybe in their hometown, you know, 50 years, 60 years or more. And, you know, it's just too much. And then a lot of, you know, if you've got like some severely serious health issues, you've got to really be careful about this. If you've got, you know, serious mobility issues, you know, you're in a wheelchair, it may not be the best thing for you, because, you know, you're talking cobblestone streets. You know, it's just a different system than what, you know, we are used to in our cultures. And what I would suggest is, gosh, and I don't, you know, want to upset anybody, is staying away from the typical immigrant websites, you know, the expat type websites, where they have an agenda to sell. I would go to discussion forums, you know, because there's plenty of discussion forums out there that, you know, discuss, you know, life, you know, in the particular country of interest, you know, and you can get in there and really dig in and see if it's something that, you know, you are apt to doing. But for me, of course, I'm Generation X, so, you know, I'm not retired. For me personally, it was the best decision I ever made. Now, that being said, there have been a number of expats, especially older ones, that came down here. And it just, even though it was nice and everything, you know, from the outside seemed to be going okay for them, they just socially, you know, could not adjust here, you know, to get lonely and, you know, feel the need to go back. So those are my tips that I would give. Just really think about it and get on those discussion forums and start asking questions, you know, give yourself reason not to go. Try to knock holes in your blue sky ideas, because it's really easy to get enthusiastic and idealize, but get on these forums and start trying to poke holes in your idealism. And if you still feel great about it, well, then go. Mm-hmm.
Because it is doable to make a successful life in another country.
Yes.
Well, thanks very much for joining me today on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And if people wanted to make contact with you or find out more about you, where's the best place to go to, Mary?
Well, if they are interested in making contact with me, they can go to my website at cheapquincarentals.com. That is cheapquincarentals.com. Or they can email me at mary@cheapquincarentals.com.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure listening to your story today.
Thank you for having me, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.